This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. A lot going on in the Umpqua Valley, but a lot especially going on in Washington, D.C. And 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle joins us from Springfield. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So I guess, first of all, there's a lot of different directions we can go, but kind of give us your overall assessment of what's going on or not going on right now with the House and with Congress in general.
What I will tell you is it's incredibly frustrating and dysfunctional. So we left, were sent home last Friday, and there's a two-week recess where we do work at home in our districts, but the Senate had sent over a bill that would fund DHS other than ICE and Customs and Border Patrol, which is already funded through 2029 in the Big Beautiful Bill. So that has funding and they can draw down on that. We would have been able to fund everything else. Democrats 100% would have agreed. A majority of the Republicans would agree, but a small group of them did not want to vote on it. So Mike Johnson, instead of bringing that to the floor, that would have just paid our federal workers, sent us home, voted on something he knew couldn't pass the Senate, sent us home. Yesterday, the Senate passed the exact same bill, and today Mike Johnson talked to his conference, so the Republicans in the House, saying, the thing that we said was terrible last week, we should totally be doing now. So he'd like to pass it, and there's something called a pro forma session, meaning if nobody objects, the bill can go through with just a small number of people on the floor. That didn't happen today because of objections from people in his caucus. The next pro forma session is this Monday, the day after Easter Monday, basically. And we don't know if they're going to move it forward then. A number of Republicans have said that they should wait until the Senate passes reconciliation with more money for ICE and CBP, which could take months. We have agreement. A vast majority of people in the House want to vote on this bill. Democrats have had a discharge petition, basically a way to bring this bill to the floor, for almost 40 days. And Mike Johnson should be calling us back in right now. We're at war. We have FEMA, cybersecurity, TSA is supposedly getting paid through some other means, but, you know, to get back on the normal track of them getting paid, we could pass this bill. This is what government should do, and we should be called back in. But Mike Johnson is choosing not to do that. So we'll see what happens next week.
Well, as we kind of watch that evolve, there are a number of other things I wanted to ask about today. You put out a release yesterday about requests for funding about $31 million in what's called local projects around your district, specifically for Douglas County. Talk about that.
So basically, community project funding is where communities say, this is our priority for infrastructure. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, there are things that we all agree the government should do. It's roads, it's bridges, it's projects in the community that a federal match can help. And it is bringing our taxpayer dollars back to the community to do the work that the community prioritizes. So in Douglas County, in Reedsport, we've got a request for $730,000 for a housing readiness project. In North Douglas County, we put in $2 million requests for the County Regional Evacuation Shelter and Emergency Operations Center. This would be just really, really important during fire season or any other emergency. Asked for rural emergency communications reliability project. We requested $1.8 million, and that funds like public safety radio equipment, including, you know, repeaters, antennas, supporting infrastructure at the sites in Oakland, Winston, Riverdale, Millwood, and Tyee. And that improves coverage and reliability, really critical. $1 million for a child care access initiative at Umpqua Community College, which is, you know, new licensed child care facility with classrooms for, and that's really important for people to be able to find jobs, is to have high quality accessible child care. And then lastly, a sewer line restoration project. We requested $500,000 for the Umpqua Hospital District in Reedsport. And so these are really important things that, you know, we could have our taxpayer dollars working on. And this is the first part in the project. And then in the summer, when we go through the appropriations process, we'll find out what happens there.
So when you go through that process in the summer, then if money was allocated, it would be beginning in the fall, possibly. Is that right?
No, it would be the next year. So we find out whether or not, you know, the party in power gives criteria for, you know, we will fund these types of projects, and all these projects fit into the criteria and have really strong applications. Then you get through the appropriations process and we'll figure out, you know, whether or not we get approved and for how much. And then when the appropriations bill passes at the end of the year, then, you know, after that, the money can be dispersed.
All right. So that is down the road. How do these projects come to you? Is there a sort of, do you reach out to different government agencies, et cetera, or they tend to come to you with these requests?
Stay in contact with all of our, you know, cities and counties throughout the district, and we let them know when community project funding opportunities come up. We know that there are, what projects are happening, and as we look at the criteria, we'll like reach out to Reedsport, or we'll reach out to Douglas County and say, hey, here's some opportunities. Would you like to submit a request or a proposal? And then everybody gets together, they put forward the proposal, and there's a lot of work that goes into that, because again, we don't want to fund something that is, you know, not real or that's going to waste taxpayer dollars. And so they put it forward. We get well more than, you know, I think I can pick 20. We get well more than 20 applications, and these are the top applications that come in. And we try and spread it out between the six counties.
So the 20 projects, is that 20 a year then?
Yeah, 20 through, this time, last time around, I think it was 15. This time they said you can have 20, and here are the criteria. So, yeah, once a year.
And for these entities, this kind of funding level is hard to achieve just out of money they would have coming into them directly without the federal help.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Like, again, this is a federal match, much like with the Veterans Home. I did last week go in front of the appropriations subcommittee that handles funding for Veterans Home. And I just explained how we don't have options to deliver the benefits that veterans have earned by serving our country, and they deserve to live out the end of their lives in dignity. I explained how long we've been fighting for this, and that it's not fair not to fund this type of program. To fully fund the program would be about $1 billion, right? Which is a lot of money for the state of Oregon or for a county, but for the program across the country is $1 billion. We're spending $2 billion a day in Iran, making more veterans, right? As you know, we're sending more and more people over to fight a war. for oil in a foreign country, but we can't spend money on the veterans that served our country. That is shameful. And that's what I told the committee.
And what kind of response did you get?
Actually, very positive response. I explained that, you know, it is a rural community, so it's not like, you know, it's easy to get up to Eugene or, you know, some other urban area and explain the need. And, the reaction was actually very positive. It is one of the things that's bipartisan is that we do want to support our veterans. So I left feeling pretty good. We had a great conversation.
All right. In addition, earlier this week, the release came out, I guess, on Tuesday with you and some of the other members of Congress, both the senators, regarding what ICE might be planning to do or not do. You guys had asked a lot of questions. What kind of answers did you get from the agency?
So from the agency, what we have heard is that they don't have intentions of building an ICE facility in Oregon at this point. So for us, like on the coast, I've talked to mayors in both conservative and liberal areas up and down the coast, and they just don't have, like, we rely on tourism for a lot of our economy, and having an ICE facility and 200 employees taking up rooms in those areas, that's just not, it's not helpful. It doesn't help our economy, especially at $69 a night, which is the federal room rate. And there are a vast majority of the people in this district that do not want to have an ICE facility, given how ICE is acting and targeting people, even American citizens, in an overly aggressive net.
And Congresswoman Val Hoyle joining us from Springfield. Another thing I wanted to cover, it's not directly in this area, but a big impact for the state. Talk about the Columbia River Cleanup Act.
So, yeah, the Columbia River Cleanup Act, this is really exciting because, again, this is bipartisan. We want to make sure that the basin is protected and adequately funded. That Columbia River Basin, you know, so many people rely on that for their livelihood and recreation. And we were able to get this passed, and I'm really, really happy. There are things that are getting done in Congress, although certainly not as much as we should. And I think Congress should act as a separate and equal branch of government. And certainly we have not been doing that as of over the past year.
And do you see this as kind of a unusual bipartisan win to have this pass?
I think it is a bipartisan win, and there are a number of them. But yeah, Congress has not been particularly effective, with the current leadership that we have. And so getting things like this done is a big deal. But I do think that people need to understand that as dysfunctional as everything is, and I think it's really dysfunctional, bipartisan work happens every single day on critical things like this. It's just getting bills passed has been very slow.
Let's ask about your thoughts. You mentioned it a little bit ago about the current situation with Iran. The president had his remarks last night. Where do you see this evolving?
I don't know. I feel like we just ran into yet another war in the Middle East, and the president ran on not taking us into another foreign war. Yesterday, he told a group that we don't have money. We're not going to be spending money on Medicare, Medicaid, and childcare because we need to spend money on a war. I don't think we need to spend money in another war that we went into without a plan to end. We've heard everything from the war is ended, to our allies can take care of the Strait of Hormuz, to, you know, no answer on what's going to happen in April when the gas prices are going to really hit the wall and increase. I mean, fundamentally, I don't think we should be there. I don't think that we should have allowed Israel to goad us into attacking Iran. This puts American people in danger of terrorist attacks from terror cells. And also, the people that fill the boots that are going to be on the ground in Iran, in the Middle East, I'm sorry, but it's not Donald Trump's kids or grandkids. You know, it's our kids that are going to go out there and have to die in another war for oil. And meanwhile, the Strait of Hormuz is incredibly important to shipping oil and many other things, and it is absolutely shut down. We've alienated our international allies. And for what? So that we can waste a ton of money overseas when we should be spending taxpayer dollars here. I think it's unconscionable. And my concern is that we went out there without a plan, and there's no plan to end it.
What were your what was your reaction when you heard the president bringing up the idea of possibly even leaving NATO?
Look, after World War II, you know, NATO was put into effect, and I think this is absolutely wrong. Understand this. We had the Prime Minister of Japan come to visit the president. He insulted the Prime Minister of Japan by making a joke about Pearl Harbor. Japan owns more of the U.S. debt than any other country. And when she left, they started investing money in other currencies. If we lose our place in the world as a world leader because we're being isolationist, if we lose our place as the world currency, right? If people move their money out of the dollar, that means the dollar decreases by 20%. Our dollar has less value. International trade is very important to Oregon, and we're losing our trading partners. Our allies do not trust us. We should all be on alert, regardless of what party you're in, and understand that what is happening now is not good for the United States. It's not good for the American people. And I don't think it is good for international order when the United States is stepping back from their role and their duty as a world leader.
Once you get through the two-week recess period here and get back into D.C., what are some of the priorities you're going to be working on then?
Well, hopefully, I hope that we're able to fund DHS, right? Like, I hope that we're able to pass the bill that the Senate put forward that we could have done before we left. I'm hoping that that's what we do next week. I am hoping that we can put up another war powers resolution to take back the power to declare war to Congress, because I can tell you this is unpopular for Democrats and Republicans. I'm hoping that we can do that and get our soldiers back home where they belong and keep Americans safe. We're going to work through our appropriations process. We've got a number of, we have an opportunity in Transportation Infrastructure Committee, which is a very functional bipartisan committee, to pass a surface transportation package. I think that's really important. And then in natural resources, we'll be doing a number of things, but, I'm working on tribal co-management bills there to make sure that we can manage our forests the way that we need to and we should be managing them, especially ahead of what's going to be a brutal fire season. So that's my plan for next week.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Not next week, but the week after.
Right. Let's talk about the this fire season aspect. You know, we have record low snowpack around a lot of areas, getting some snow up in the mountains today. Yeah. But by the weekend, we're up to about 80 around here. And so a lot of people have some big concerns for this summer. You can't really affect the weather, but what can you affect to be ready for things this summer? Do we have the appropriate level of funding for the Forest Service and some of the fire folks?
So there's just been a major change in the fire service, in that they're moving the Forest Service, rather, they're moving the Forest Service headquarters to Utah, remains to be seen, and taking out regional offices to have state-run offices. It remains to be seen what that impact is going to be for Oregon. We'll have to wait and see. I do know that we've spoke with OSU and their partnership program with the Forest Service. It is going to stay intact. We are being told that wildfire response will not be affected. We have some places with 27% snowpack, which means that we should expect a very, very, very severe fire season, and we need to be prepared. And that means everything from making sure, and we're doing it at my house, we're making sure that we're clearing out the space, our defensible space around our house, right, as to what can burn. That needs to be done now. Make sure you have a to-go bag and a plan if there are going to be evacuations. I also think we need to get ahead of it, and we need to clear out the brush and clear out the things in our forest to make sure that there is less to burn. That's really, really important. But I know Oregon, the State Fire Marshal, working with the feds and local, are preparing for the worst, and we need to as well.
All right. From Springfield, out of time for now, but 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for being on today.
All right. Take care. Bye.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.